you need any more mic stands or anything?
No, I think we're just going to be passing the mic back.
Do you want this one gone then?
I'll just put it away.
Hello? Team. Come on. Okay, let's come back together.
Go ahead, sit down.
So we're not a cult, even though we're all wearing the same shirts. Yeah, you have to wear all the same shirts in your cult. So you can take a seat, guys. Find a seat, sit down. We had to learn to get very comfortable with each other. So first of all, I wanted to thank you guys all for sending us, commissioning us to go to the Philippines. It was just an amazing trip. You're going to talk. Sometimes it's just hard to put in words what you experienced and what you received. The biggest thing I want to start out for me that I received was just the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of worship, the simplicity of just, we make life so complicated and even serving Jesus is just so complicated sometimes when it's just a matter of just coming before his feet and just worshiping. And it's just, another big thing was for me was how quickly you could come into a place of worship. And that's just not just singing or thing. It's just walking around declaring the goodness of God and just declaring, that's worship. I mean, we had multiple times where spontaneous worship just burst out on the bus. And the Philippine people have that already in their heart because it's just their culture. They love karaoke. I don't know how many times we walk by and there's a group of guys sitting there behind a store and they're doing karaoke. And it was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. They would look at us. We were definitely a... we got stared at a lot. You have to get used to being stared at, especially my boys. They love to get stared at. I guess they look like a popular boy band. So they were good with the ladies, but not to embarrass them. Sean made the mistake of waving once, and that was it. They did do the heart. We had this going on a lot. Love you. They're good-looking boys, aren't they? But we had a lot of fun. Are you embarrassed, Eileen?
No, I'm not.
Okay. We had one time where we were behind a truckloads of military guys driving along. She's embarrassed. Because I was in the back of the bus. She was sitting in the very front seat. And they were right there, And she's waved at them. And they were just like taking pictures. And I was like, quit flirting with the boys.
Yeah, we're having a discussion over here because it was really Sheila who was flirting with the boys or the young men. Actually, there were women in there too. Oh, Sheila. Do you want me to start speaking now? Because I can.
Go ahead.
I do need to talk about Sheila. she's talking about Sheila. Sheila was part of the Philippine team of Josh and Brandy's, and she was a little fireball, and I love her. And she and Jody was talking just about the joy of the Philippine people, and here is an example, and I'll get to the story about the military. And one of the first nights that we went out to Randy and Ren's church, we're getting ready. We had a lot of distractions that night, and here's one of them. I was talking to Randy and Ren, who are the pastors of the church, and all of a sudden, you see this look on his face, and he runs out. You hear his daughters. Well, a car caught on fire. Yeah, it was there was distraction after distraction. And there's a testimony in that as well. But Sheila.
It was his father's car.
It was his father's car, who was also a pastor. So it was kind of interesting that it caught fire. But Sheila described the Filipino people as like, we are always smiling. Even with like, hey, there's a fire. They're smiling. This is how Sheila explains it. There's so much joy in the Filipino people, and I love it. I mean, it's a gift. It's a natural gift in them, and we were able to experience that even that night with a fire. and Sheila was flirting with the young men and the troops. So there's just there may or may not be a picture, I don't know, of a big truck with probably 35 people in it, standing, some of them sitting, and it was a troop of young people, and we were driving behind them, and so we were taking pictures, and yes, Sheila was flirting. Well, I think they were looking at you, but anyway. I guess I'm not sure where we're going to begin. Are we going to start showing the slides, or should I just, or the video? Was the video able to be able to go? Yes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to start the slides. We'll, when we see something, whoever has something to share about that photo, we'll share something. Hopefully this will not take up your whole afternoon, but and I want to thank Rachel for putting this together.
This was at the hotel.
That is our hotel where we stayed. It's called the Waterfront Insular Hotel. And it was 10 feet deep in the and that is the hotel, that's the resort. Yeah, they're little shacks. The pool's just on the other side there. I'm telling you what, they had a marvelous breakfast spread.
Needles and garbage and junk all over.
So I want to say the 13-hour and 50-minute plane ride was not that bad. That's the one way, and then the other way was about 12 and a half hours. It's amazing the difference in time travel. You do. It is time travel. We left at 6 o'clock in the morning. No, we left at 8 o'clock on Manila, and we arrived in L.A. at 8 o'clock.
Same day.
Okay.
Corey, who
wants to talk about the children's feeding program?
Did you
want to
say
anything? Okay, go ahead and stop it. So this is the children's feeding program. Josh and Brandy were doing this, I believe, weekly, and they typically would have anywhere from 15 to 30 kids usually, but typically they would go with the bus. You've seen the yellow bus in the background. They'd pick them up. They'd bring them back to their church and feed them. This is actually we went into they call it the slums, but it's where they live, very poor area, and they do. I think you guys watched the video, one of the first video I sent, that they were singing. So they do a little teaching and worshiping, and then we fed them spaghetti. Come on, somebody else is to jump in here and talk about it. Go ahead.
I know this is Sean. Was this Sean when this was your favorite part? Oh, it's going.
Bags are on their hand because we ran out of utensils, and the little rolls they had, little dinner rolls, were in plastic bags. So they ended up taking the dinner roll out, making a glove out of the plastic bag, and eating their beanies and noodles with their plastic gloves.
The Philippine people are very inventive. They have a very, very creative side to them. So they love art. They love anything to do to be creative. It's amazing the resourcefulness.
And when we were giving out flip-flops, look at the babies, at the feeding program, we gave them some to the adults, and they were tearing up. It was really impactful just to be able to give.
Okay, stop. This is one of the major distractions. Pearl's guitar would not work. And Ben and Dakota and Thomas were feverishly trying to get this guitar to work for the worship service. Yeah, Ben, you can hear Ben the whole time, "Father God, help me. Father God, help me. Show me. For about 30 minutes. And he got it to work. It was in bad shape. So Ben was amazing there. He was, you know, his heart and his servanthood definitely translated to the Philippine people. So this is Olivia. She is a powerful preacher.
So go back one. So the gentleman there in the purple shirt, this is his church. The first church we went to where the car caught on fire, it was his car. His son is the one that is the pastor of the second church. These are shirts from his church. And that was his father. This is in downtown Davao, that church of his. So that was the second Sunday we were there at his church.
Okay,
that's Randy. That's the son.
Oh. Go back. There you go.
Yeah, don't hit play.
Right there.
So that's Randy and Ren that we were talking about at the first church. Hit pause, Mama. There, hit pause. There you go. That's pause. Okay. His church is
amazing.
Come on, there's a seat. His church is up in the woods, out of town, quite a ways in the mountains, probably an hour out of Davao. It's in a kind of a rough area, and he had been getting beat up by the locals and the Catholic Church there. The odd thing as you drove around is there are churches everywhere, and a church is a roof and a door, not necessarily walls, because it's 193 degrees Kelvin, and there's just a roof to keep the rain off their head and a way to walk under it. And on the front of the church is First Church Pentecostal of Dallas, Texas, or Jehovah's Witness, or Assembly of God, or Southern Baptist, and they're peppered all over everywhere. You're miles from anywhere out in the middle of nowhere, and where he is, the church that Randy pastors. Amazing church, amazing people. We saw some amazing miracles there. But he is stealing people from the Catholic Church or the other churches and kind of getting blacklisted in his community, and they've been really standing against him. So a big portion of our ministry at that church, I felt, was to him and his wife, because they were really feeling beat down, feeling alone, feeling unsupported, and needed some encouragement. And so that was an amazing opportunity to pour in to something that was already there that needed a whole bunch of help. And then the following Sunday, we went to his dad's church downtown. That's what those other pictures were.
Okay, before you go, this is the couple I really feel that you and Sage are going to meet.
Ditto.
You know, just saying the yes. So that night, I don't know where Sage is, but there's a necklace that I gave Sage, and I had another one on, and it's a little thing of a king salmon, and God prompted me to give it to her. And I'm like, I didn't have any plans of giving that necklace away. But what it was, even when I gave it to Sage, was, you know what? You're a kingfisher. You're a fisher. And it's not just any fish. It's a king salmon. And it's not just a king salmon. It's from the Copper River. Because it's the lady who designed it, who lives on the top of that mountain over here. That's where she got her design. It was from the Copper River. And so I was like trying to explain this to her just to, you know, and be obedient. And it touched her. It meant so much. And I've gotten messages after messages. But my point is, it wasn't about me. It was just about being obedient to that little nudge that God gave me. And it's so important that we listen to that. And most of the time, as Josh would say, all the time when we're out and about, most of the time it's the Holy Spirit. And we're not crazy. You know, those little things. It's just saying yes. And that's exactly what Sandra is like hoping and desiring. It's just, when you hear that yes, like to go to Africa this next time, just walk through it. You don't have to have all the answers.
So Randy is, you can go ahead and play it. Randy is somebody I really connected with. I'm still in contact with on Messenger with him. He actually messaged me last night, just checking in. You can keep praying for the Philippines. They're going through a lot of earthquakes right now. It's a scary time for them. I've seen a lot of pictures on them. You have something? Thomas? Yeah, so Randy on the end there and his mother. I'm trying to remember his name. Does anybody remember his name? He actually burnt his hand pretty good putting out the fire. He tried to lift up the hood with it on fire, and we prayed for him. He didn't seem to be in pain, but it still had a lot of big blisters on his hands. I'll let you know. So we don't have a whole lot of pictures of the jail ministry time, but it's some of the most powerful times that we had. We weren't allowed to have. There's Pearl.
You aren't supposed to bring cameras into the jail.
Oh, that's right. Josh was, because he was a pastor, he was able to bring it in there. He snuck it in. So there is flip-flops.
Go
back one, please.
So, The thing that impacted me most on I think this trip was, we started out the beginning, the very first day we got there, we were still upside down and asleep, and we just went and had worship time with Josh and Brandy, and they asked us, we were going to start out with a little treasure hunt where we let the Holy Spirit tell us what we're looking for, who we're looking for, where to find it, that kind of thing. And so we all wrote down on a piece of paper the who, what, where, why, colors, things. And then through the week, 2 weeks that we were there, we kept looking for those little clues to pop up. Well, during the prayer time at the women's prison, Josh asked, because it was kind of a compressed thing and we were jamming everything together, it was somewhat free but somewhat controlled, because the jail personnel wanted to be part of the process and get the credit for everything that happened. So, Denise, your cool
artistic basketball went to a specific lady, but then they came back and took it back, and we don't actually know who got it in the end, because they wouldn't. They made them like rewards or something for prisoners, so we didn't really get to see who got them in the end. But so they asked each of us to list who our treasure was, or the thing we saw in the treasure. Well, mine was one leg shorter or longer than the other. And so I mentioned it, and Josh was on the mic, and he said something, and all of a sudden, all the ladies in the thing just start jabbering, and going crazy, and they all turn around, and they point back in the very back corner to a lady, and she's like against the wall asleep, and they wake her up and said, leg longer than the other thing, or whatever, however it went. And so when it came to prayer time, she actually came up to get prayed for. So I talked to her for just a second, and I, you know, do you want the short one longer or the longer one shorter, you know? And so she just said, same, same. And I'm like, okay, I will work on that. So I prayed for her, and I get done, and Josh was always encouraging us, you know, to do this number scale, 1 to 10 thing, and that never really resonated with me. I'm like, you'll know when the Holy Spirit touches you, yeah. So she kind of got a smile on her face, and I said, is it better? And she goes, can you pray for my eye? And I went, what's the matter with your eye? She says, well, I can only see out of one eye. And I went, okay, which one? It was her left eye, so I prayed for her eye and got all done. And I said, is it any better? And she's like, I said, well, let's pray again. So I prayed again. And I got done, and I said, is it any better? And we're wearing these prison ID lanyard things. It's got some big visitor pass thing on them. And all of a sudden, she grabs my ID and holds it up in front of her face. Wow. And she's trying to do this, and she goes, ah! I can see. And I was like, that's awesome. And the thing that kind of floored me so much is, Zach said it many times here for the last 5 years, that we have this thing in our mind where we've got to get ourselves lined up and in order before we present ourselves to God. When in actuality, all he wants is me to say yes. Her name was Martha. That lady has been waiting there because God gave her healing to me. And all I needed to do was declare it and speak it and go there and touch her. And I started to realize, how many other people am I holding the key for that I can't release because I'm sitting here? And it wasn't because I was super spiritual, because it ain't that, or any other reason. It was him. And Jesus has been waiting for the words to come out of my mouth to change her life. And that's the awesome part.
I wanted to, the bags, and when we were at the women's jail, there was all those white bags. We had the opportunity to, you know, you can't take anything in. Like, it's the few pictures that we have were from the pastor's phone, because they wouldn't even let us take our phones in. We walked in just like this. And yet at the women's jail, they let us bring in toiletries. And so Eileen and PJ, one of the Filipino team members, had a great fun going to the grocery store buying like 80 of everything. And me. It was so fun, like, with all these carts heaped with body, you know, bar soap and laundry soap and feminine products, and we're like, here we come to buy all this stuff. Yeah.
So I don't want this to be just a transfer of information. I want this to build faith. So first I want to give a huge shout out to Josh and Brandy. They facilitated and hosted us so well. And in the middle of their world being in complete chaos. So Josh and Brandy have been over there for 6.5 years. They started a church. They ended up having to to turn the shut the church down. Their heart really is that they started a DSSM instead of BSSM, Davao Supernatural School of Ministry. That is their really heart to do that, but they also want to have a church as well. But they were pretty beat up and overwhelmed, and they actually, by God's grace, stayed until we could get there. Essentially, they really wanted us to be there and to be with us. So it was such a bittersweet time for them because they were leaving to go on sabbatical for a while and to come back and get rest and healing. And but they hosted us. Everything was in God's timing. It was just, I can't describe to you how God worked in the timing, because within 3 days of us being there, they found out they had to move out of their house. And they're like, there's no way we could have done this without your team being here, because we're going to redo the schedule here a bit, and the priority is us helping you out. So I just want to give a huge thanks to Josh and Brandy. They're just awesome people. So speaking of Josh, he has, and both Brandy, they'll have such an apostolic gifting on their life. They called things out of us that sometimes we didn't know was there. So in the women's prison, that was one of the things. He was like, okay, you guys are all going to give a word of knowledge, and for these women in the prison. And so the one that I had was, I felt like somebody had something wrong with their elbow, and Dakota was standing right next to me. He's like, yeah, I got the same thing. And before we even started praying, I think we did another worship song or something, because nobody even prayed for her. She came up and she's like, that was me. You know, of course, there's the language barrier. She's like, thank you. She was like, I'm like, I didn't do anything. All he said was, you know, God wanted to heal somebody's elbow. And, you know, we were just conduits of the Holy Spirit. We didn't have to do anything. Sometimes we make it just so difficult to just pray for somebody. So does anybody else have any testimonies of the prison?
So we actually went to the men's prison first, and then a couple days later went to the women's prison.
This is in the men's prison.
Yeah. So when we were at the men's prison, we also prayed for people to be healed. And I got the opportunity to pray for someone who also couldn't see out of their left eye. And it's a very similar story. It got a little bit better, but then we prayed again, and it was fully restored. And he also said he had a pain in his rib that went away. So, oftentimes here in America, we forget how good God is,
yep,
because we have the ability to go to a doctor and they have such amazing care. it truly is amazing when we see God work.
Yeah.
And it truly is amazing the fact that He created our bodies to heal.
Yeah.
He wants to show His love through healing us. when we were at the women's prison, we were all asked to give a word of knowledge. And so Josh had us all come up on stage, and he asked us to ask God for a word of knowledge for someone for healing. And I guess what impacted me the most was, I always feel like I struggle to hear Him speak. I know He's speaking to me, but I always feel like I struggle to hear. And anyways, this time I felt like I was struggling to hear, so I started reading the Bible, and to me it seemed like everybody had taken a turn to share something, and Josh had moved on, he was getting ready to move on to something else. And I was reading where the Pharisees brought a man with a withered hand to Jesus to see if He would break the Sabbath to heal the man. And it just kind of, I don't know, I don't remember flipping specifically that place, but I decided, well, okay, maybe someone here has a withered hand. So I pushed past my fear and my pride, and I asked for the mic. And I asked, is there anyone here with a hand, something, pain in their hand or something? and half the room stood up.
Oh, geez.
And I was able to pray for them, and pretty much all of them said their hands got healed. And that was really, I didn't know what my purpose, or what God's purpose for me was on this trip, besides what I know his purpose for me is every day, and that is to share his love with everybody. And that was just kind of a confirmation that I do hear his voice,
yeah.
And that he can work through me,
yeah.
And that he does love me, he does love them,
yeah.
And gave me the opportunity to share that, and it was really amazing.
So we'll keep real quick. So Jen is on the left, beautiful Pearl is on in the middle.
Annie,
Annie is on the left. Pearl is in the middle, and then PJ is the one in the background, and then that's Josh. And this is in the men's prison, which we had a. It was amazing, the environment. Go ahead and play it. The environment in there did not feel, it, to me, did not feel oppressive or depressing.
Yeah.
It was just weird. So you have to understand this prison. That was Ben trying to figure out what does this mean when she's trying to translate. This prison is actually more of a holding cell, holding area.
Can you stop right there, Deanna, please?
Some of these people have been waiting for their trial for 12 years. Yeah, they have not been sentenced yet. This
is probably have a 2-year sentence.
Yeah, so they could be in there for 12 years and be sentenced for 2 years.
And some of them aren't even there for their own crime. They've got a deal there where if you're rich, you can pay someone
to take your sentence for you. So some of those people are there because somebody paid him some money to do their sentence for him. It's this is the poor prison. Yeah.
I would like AJ to, he's speaking in this picture, and I would like him to tell us what's going on.
Full responsibility. I give you full responsibility. You tell.
So when we were on our way to the men's jail, we were late, and they're very strict, and so we were unsure whether they were actually going to let us in or not. And on the way to the jail, Eileen had a vision, and she just said, I just had this vision, and she just kind of said it out loud. She's like, I don't know what it's for or what it means. And then, you know, an hour or so later, we're at the jail, and AJ...
Okay, so how about you say the vision first?
Okay, I'll do that part.
All right.
I saw an angel in front of our bus, like directly in front of our bus, and there was a lot of pink. I saw it as a pink angel, basically, and simply that's what I saw.
Okay, and then there was this dude who had COPD, and pushed him in the wheelchair into the room. So do you guys want me to, like, scan? Or, okay. Okay.
Yeah, just tell Zach.
How about the ground? Yeah, all right. So, basically, I was like, something went click in my brain, and then, I lost my train of thought.
You interpreted what I thought.
Oh yeah, and then I was like, wait, lungs are pink, and then she saw pink. And then I was like, ba-na.
Sound effects and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So you prayed over the guy with COPD?
Yep. So we actually prophesied over this man, too.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
We were able to prophesy over the man on the wheel. Is there another picture of him?
I don't think so. But
he was in a wheelchair and he had lung issues, and AJ was able to pray over him. I was able to prophesy over him that he was going to be a messenger to the jail. But he had realized all the things he'd done and all that, but that came back to him. But we were able to prophesy and speak into this man's life, and it was a lot. That was my favorite part of the trip, was be able to, one of my favorite times, be able to speak into his life and watch God work just in that little moment. So at the jail, they kind of, they make them, did they say
all
out? They make all kinds of things, but they had pens for sale.
They look like that, but they're pens.
Yeah, they're pens. So we bought some. And I gave the men to the jail a word out of Daniel 10. And later we were about to go pray over people, so we were gathering our stuff and putting it in one place.
Okay, wait. So she gave the word. She came back, set her Bible on her stool, which was directly in front of me. We were sitting. I was in the very back. And some of these guys were right here, and they're looking at her Bible. And I'm like, okay, maybe they don't have Bibles, but they're just, like, really intent on her Bible. And she was up there again. And then.
So what I love what was happening is that people would get parts. And never, like with AJ, he took the little part that I had and then was able to speak life into this man's life. And just like, here you go. Well, I went back to go collect the pens that we were going to buy and all that. And this guy, I didn't see his face at all. He goes, I think you dropped this. And I got to the front, and he had put my name on the pen.
He got her name off the front of her Bible, I realized later.
And they gave me this pen. I don't know who it was. I never saw his face either. But wow. It just made me realize how giving the Filipino people are. They love to give with their food, especially. You have to deny it 3 times if you're not going to eat. So they just love giving. Like, I got multiple gifts from them. They gave us Christmas gifts. And it's just, they have such a heart of giving, and they love everybody, especially that joy on their face.
So on our way down, this is the dump mountain. They dump it at the top and just keep pushing. It keeps growing. All down along the side is a road that goes way down to the bottom where supposedly the dump started 10, 15, 20 years ago. I don't know. But there's a little village, a little city. This is one of their little huts. They have a church building, a school building, and they live there. One of the guys that came with us, his name was Mo Wee. He's their little evangelist in the area. But we're walking down this road alongside the dump. It smells just gorgeous, and it's 193 Kelvin again. And we're walking by a house, and somebody's got Asbury. What's his first name? Corey Asbury's song, Reckless Love, playing in this house. And they're singing along and playing guitar with it inside this house as we're walking down this road. It was amazing the places where God has reached in some of the craziest corners of this world. And you're in the middle of a dump, and somebody's in there worshiping. It really spoke to me.
So just so you explain what's going on, the dump is actually, they sort through the trash. That's their livelihood. So they sort through the trash, whatever they can use, whatever they can sell, recycle, whatever. And it's generations. There's generations of, I mean, they've been doing this for generation to generation. So they live like this. And at the bottom of here is a school at the very bottom of the dump. We had to walk all the way down the hill and had a fun little truck ride on the way up. But I wanted Thomas to talk about what was going on in his heart with this lady.
Well, Josh was sharing, I don't remember what exactly it was about, but he talked about something to, yeah, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples and how he humbled himself to be servant. And very much they had the perfect picture of everybody who's wealthy looked down on them. And they're like, and there's a guy in Davao. He actually lives on an island right across. It's pretty close. And he's a cult leader. He calls himself the Christ. And I don't remember what his name was, but Josh was talking about how crazy would it be for him to come here. Would he come and wash your feet? And I just felt the impression that I was supposed to wash someone's feet. And so I offered. I asked, is it Maui? Is that his name? Maui. If I could get a basin with water. And then I offered to wash their feet. And I felt like God was asking me to show, to demonstrate the love that he was giving.
She's 80, I think she was 86. Was she 90? I knew she was getting close to 90. These kids were just beautiful kids, and these ladies were very precious. You can see the Alaska pins. Anybody else want to talk about this?
So I started with the eldest there, and I washed her feet, and I offered to wash everyone else's feet who wanted to. And I think I washed about all the people, the elder people in the picture, the adults there.
You want to go back? That's coming out of the dump. That we barely made it out at that truckload. We actually had to jump off and push. Okay, here's my flirtation wife. They thought that was funny.
So
that's not what all the bathrooms look like, but there was quite a few.
Most of the churches we went to had bathrooms like this, and I think they collected rainwater for the toilets.
So when when Josh or whoever told the folks that we were from Alaska, this is what they thought. So their milk company in the Philippines is called Alaska. So as you drive along all these streets that are just covered with a 20-foot-wide shop face that's just one right after the other, selling trinkets or SIM cards or food or fruit or socks or whatever, they're either sponsored by Alaska or they're sponsored by Mountain Dew. So the sign fronts on all these buildings were Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew, Alaska. And the name of this store is Honey Babes, I guess, because it would say Alaska. This was right outside the women's prison.
Because all the Honey Babes from Alaska.
That's the door. Yeah. That's the door to the women's prison right there on the side. You walked right into the women's prison. But so when you said Alaska, they were thinking, you know, like milk. We may look like it, but it's not.
They're all still alive.
This was on our boat day. This is one of our fun days that we had. Yeah, we all got sunburned.
There's about 5 trillion of those.
Yeah.
And they carry 18.
You will eat a lot when you go there.
Do not eat the tiny red peppers. Okay. Okay. So, the pork one with the tiny red peppers? Yeah. Okay. So, as you can see, the lime-looking thing.
They're not Tic Tacs.
They are not Tic Tacs. They are actually quite the opposite. So basically, they're chili peppers, but really hot chili peppers. And I don't know what inspired to go. I don't know. Okay.
So I already knew what it was, but I didn't know if AJ knew what it was. I knew it was a hot pepper of some sort. So I told him, I was like, hey, AJ, you should try that little red pepper right there. And he tries it. Yeah, he tries it and he eats it. And all of a sudden his face is like water. And he starts chugging it. And two of the workers at the restaurant we were at, they were coming in and setting the table up for the other people. And I tell them, I was like, hey, try the green one. Maybe it's more mild. And they just start busting up laughing. Like, mild? What's mild?
Somebody cropped that photo because Jody's face is in that picture.
No, that's Dakota's. That's Dakota's. We had a lot of meals cooked by PJ.
Yeah.
She is an awesome cook. She made such good food. We had a lot of pineapple and mango stuff. What is that called? Halo halo. Mix mix. It had like beans. Yeah, a bunch of things that don't go together, but it tasted good. Okay, this is durian. It smells like gym socks, garlic, onions, and something else.
No,
but it actually tastes roadkill. Yeah, it tastes sweet though.
You don't the fruit there is really weird. You don't eat the part of the fruit that you would think you would eat. So a couple pictures back was the mangosteen. It's a big thing. Looks like a big huge plum.
Yep.
You rip it open and it's got seed pods inside covered with slime. You suck the slime off the seed pods, and that's what you eat. Same here.
That's what they told you.
The durian is the same. The durian is those big, you pull those seed pods out there. There's a seed inside there about the size of a peach pit inside that big sack, and it's the consistency of toothpaste that smells like poo and socks and rotting flesh, and they love it. They make milkshakes and it's on croissants and it's everywhere.
You gotta, because we just ate lunch and everything, and so like all of us like full and everything, and he ordered like a whole bunch, and of course we ordered actually a little bit, and they just kept on bringing durian out, and then they chopped it up, and me and Josh actually had an eating competition on it, and I lost. But
so this is it's like eating brains. There you go. So this is another fun day we had. We went to a falls and we all jumped off
waterfall.
I don't know.
The locals were complaining that the water was cold. It was only 78.
Terrible. It looked like Thunderbird Falls along the height that we parked
on. Do
you want to talk about this part?
So we were in where we were was a recovery unit. Like, the hospital's right next to them, so right after discharge, you can pause it, and they're discharged and they have recovery here. So it's also a free hospital they can go to. They get care and food. But one thing that was very prominent and was very interesting to me was there was many deformed babies, I would guess. Like, there was one with three heads. A baby, like just a newborn baby, had three heads. This baby really caught my heart. His name is Baby Moses. He was a premature baby, and his mother abandoned him. He actually died and came back to life. So he's 1.5 in that picture. So, but we were able to pray for him, and there was this one was the adoptive mother. But yeah, there was just so many, I guess, miscarriages that people have had there, or they've had wrong pregnancies that have gone wrong. But, we were able to, birth defects, we were able to pray over them. And that was also one of my favorite times, praying over those mothers and those babies.
This is boat day. This I think it was like 54 passenger. They actually could fit like 80 something people on it, but we basically rented out the whole boat, and it was like, it was super cheap. It was like $2 per person to rent the boat out. So we had a lot of fun time on the boat. That was kind of a farewell thing also for Josh and Brandy for the church. So this is actually one of the last things we did before we left. We went out to a gentleman named Jeffrey. He's starting a teen challenge, and this is at the men's side of the ministry. And so we were building a shed. That's Jeffrey right there. We kept teasing him that he looked like Matt. We started a foundation for a shed for a repeater for the radio so they could communicate back and forth between their two campuses. They had a women's campus that they were actually living on that Assembly God's has done, and then that Corey was a big help on that. He helped me a lot with the bricks. You want to talk?
I wouldn't quite call them bricks.
How about you, Sean? Do you want to talk about your spider? No? He came to us and he said he was out doing something, and he said he saw the spider coming and he could see the fangs going in his neck. He was a little nervous for a little bit, but he was fine. We prayed for him and he was good. We're out in the middle of the jungle. It was, you know, hours away from. Yeah. He can now climb walls. So we went to San Francisco while we were in the Philippines. This is in the town of San Francisco. We went to a church.
3 hours, 3.5 hours north of
Dubai. Yeah. This was a super long day. Eileen, do you want to? Yeah, we almost died coming back. Literally. Go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we're going there, I saw an angel on each side of our bus. And long story short, we were having problems with the bus. We left as soon as we could from the tribal church. And while we were driving home, it was dark. I'm going up a hill. Ben probably do a better job of explaining this. But anyway, long story short is that those angels saved us. God had those angels inside the bus to keep us from being crunched between two vehicles.
So just when we were going up to San Francisco, actually, we were going into the jungle church, which was another hour and a half from San Francisco. And we were going there where they had these plants that went up, and they actually looked like feathers. And to me, it was like, hey, your vision. Will you see the angels? Because it looked like angel feathers almost that we were riding through. Well, when we were going back, so we were driving, and basically they have lanes. They'll have like three lanes on each road, and the middle lane is actually goes one direction, and like when you get to the top of the hill, it actually switched directions. And so that's, I believe, what happened is we were going up to the top, and all of a sudden the lane ended, and then all of a sudden there's a vehicle in our lane head on. And so it was just, I mean, Ben was able to like tell the bus driver, hey, there's a vehicle right there coming our way. And they were just able to back just enough. And basically the mirrors clipped. And all we heard was shattering. But when we got back, we checked the bus, and we couldn't find a scratch on the bus. So I'm thinking the angel arm was out there just protecting us. So it was God's provision that, you know, that we're here.
Go ahead. This is kind of my impression. Well, I had a lot of impressions. It's hard to process and talk about. We knew we were going to build relationships with Josh and Brandy and their team. And the relationships that were built were so supernatural. Like we got there and we were like instantly friends, not just with Josh and Brandy, but with their Filipino team as well. And back in the day, before I was married, I was in YWAM for 5 years, and I've been on a lot of missions trips, and I don't know that I've ever been on a missions trip that there wasn't relational issues, whether on your team or with the team you're there working with. And, you know, that's part of the whole process. But I don't know that I was aware of really any, I mean, I wasn't aware. I don't know if there were relational issues, but I wasn't aware of anything. And again, not within our team. There wasn't bickering. There was a lot of, you know, joking and poking, and that's fun. But we also didn't really have issues. You know, we've got language barrier and cultural barrier, and it was stinking hot all day and all night, every single day and every single night, which tends to make you a little bit irritable. But it was just really amazing how it felt like Holy Spirit was over us all and just kind of wrapped us all up, and we were able to do the work that we were there to do. Meanwhile, we're forging these bonds that are not done. We're not, you know, we came home, but I think there's a special bond between all of us, and there is definitely special bonds happening still across the ocean. You know, I visualize some of these girls coming here and being part of our house here, whether short-term or long-term. I visualize us going back. And that is what really made the most impression on me, how supernatural the relationship aspects were on this trip and during this time.
I just want to thank you guys for your support and all your prayers. And little details like Julia's kids just putting together a lot of the trinkets and organizing the stuff that we brought. Little details like that means a lot. And I don't know if you noticed, though, there's a pink handkerchief that PJ was holding up in a pot holder that was given to us from a special person here. She's not here right now, but that meant a lot to PJ. Little details like that, you guys are amazing. And one thing that we took, like she was talking about, is family. And you guys are family. So you guys were part of this. Yep. And this is where we're hoping we're sharing that how much you guys blessed the Filipino people.
So this right here, can you go back one slide? This is actually, this has been gifted to Josh and Brandy for their school for DSSM. So they brought us to this and showed this. And it's about an acre of land, and that's their hope for their future home of DSSM. Yeah, I think it's Alligator Acres, because there's some alligators at the end, like an alligator farm thing. And so, I think it was 2 days before I left, and the first church we went to with Randy and Rand, I just knew in my heart right away we're going to be back. And, but 2 days before that, I believe I heard the Lord say April of 2021 is, I feel like that's when we're supposed to go back again. And it's also, I don't feel like we're led to go back without Josh and Brandy there. So, that will also be related and see how that works. But, I feel like all of us in our heart want to go back again. I think I've heard everyone say they want to go back. Back to the Philippines, no pressure, but they're saying it.
That crazy kid of mine even wants to go back, although she said without me, so I'm not sure what that means. But it is an amazing thing to see, that's the end of it, to see Grace stand up in the woman's prison and share the word of God with a bunch of women and see eyes open and hearts changed. It's an amazing thing. So if I can do it and Grace can do it, or if God can use me and God can use Grace, God can use anybody. He's just waiting. So
I think that's the end of the slides, right? I wanted to say something over each of you guys.
You could just let it play again if you wanted to.
So I wanted to say a couple things over the whole group. This was, in my opinion, for Dakota, it was a huge coming out party for him. I'm not going to talk about the obvious thing. No, what I've seen in Dakota is he was singing at the top of his lungs any chance he could get. He was worshiping with his whole heart. Not that he doesn't do that here, but it was a whole nother level for him. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you, Dakota, for saying yes. And, you know, he went there to serve, not to find a girlfriend. But he went there, you know, to just experience what God had for him, and he did that. Thomas, you just impressed me so much, just your heart to give. You shared some very powerful things that I believe will plant many seeds in many people's lives that you're there, that you touched a lot of people's lives. And don't be doubting that God talks to you. He does. And Grace, she was fun to me. She was my little tease. I got to tease her a lot. You also was like a coming out thing for you as well. It's like you're coming into womanhood. And don't be afraid of expressing yourself. She had a lot of times with, I was really shocked that Ben let her do it. But last night we were there, she went out in a jeepney with Shirley. I mean, Sheila. Why don't I go Shirley? She went out in a jeepney with Sheila because she had never experienced a jeepney. And you know what a jeepney is? It's basically a motorcycle with like a cab thing on the back.
No, that's a truck.
It's the Jeep front.
Oh, yeah, okay. They have a lot of trikes and they have a lot of jeepneys. Yeah. But they want to experience, but be adventurous. I see you going back and you could go without him. You're strong enough. She also was one of the first ones to go scuba, and I think all of us scuba'd except Sicky over here. He wasn't feeling that good that day, but we all went scuba, which was a little scary for me, myself, but she just took off like crazy. Elizabeth was our lover. She loved on everybody. I can't remember a time where she didn't have her arm around one of the girls on part of the team or around one of the ladies we were ministering. And I just am so encouraged that you know how to express love and just make people feel so loved and warm. Rachel. What can I say? Rachel was our rock. She has so many giftings, and she's so gracious when she's doing that. And so I just really appreciated her input on the trip, for her putting this together. She's always willing to say yes. And I just so appreciate that you came along and helped with mothering some of the kids, some at times, and putting them in place. And AJ, you're the man. I think he had a really good time, and don't discount the things that God did in your heart there. Okay, don't say, oh, we just had a good time. There were some things that deposited in your heart, and God's going to explore that more in the future for you. So, my daughter, I'm so proud of my daughter. She's my little preacher. She preached 4 times. I think it was 4 times. And if you haven't preached in front of with a translator, it can be very difficult because you're saying maybe 5-10 words, and then you have to wait to get translated. So you lose your train of thought. But she did excellent at it, and they really responded to the gifting in her. And so I'm just so proud of you because she's my little missionary. She goes everywhere. She goes to AKP. Her pieces of her heart are all over the world. And you know that calling in your life. My beautiful wife. I don't know what to say about her because she's. No, I'm not skipping her. I'm not skipping you. Half the time I was going, where's my wife? I was like going, where did she go? And she's off ministering to one lady or the other. And she connects heart to heart with people so easily. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for saying yes, for taking our family on this. And you did an excellent job with our family, taking care of our family, and just with the travel, keeping me calm, going through the airports and security and all that. Being the leader of the group, I felt responsible for making sure I'm like, who's where that? Okay, we're all going through. It was a little nerve-wracking at times, and she was like, just calm down, breathe. Boys, Sean, they don't say much. They do. When they want to. I am very proud of you guys. It was hot. Trust me, it was hot. We were laughing. Most of the time you're sweating bad. And they didn't come. I don't remember them really complaining about the heat and being tired and thing. And like Sean prayed over when we had the children feed program. He prayed over all the kids. You can actually talk. You have something powerful to say. Yeah. And Corey, he was reaching out to, you know, he'd see a little one of the kids at the same. I think both of them told me the children feeding program was the highlight for them. Yes, is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right. You like the jail. He prayed for some people at the jail, and they got healed. So we actually seen a lot of healings, and there's just too many to actually describe. And Ben, I don't know what to say about Ben. Josh loved Ben because, and he made a good connection with Raymond, our bus driver. He was just constantly my friend. you're my friend, and he's just so good at. Being friendly and just sharing the love of God. But so I know we went a long time. It's okay. But to close out, what I would like to do is I'm hoping is the testimonies that you heard has built up some faith. Yeah. This is the prayer team today. Okay, guys? We did it in the Philippines. We can do it here. So if you have a prayer need, Annie, if you could play Waymaker. That song was actually played a lot when we were there. We heard that a lot, Waymaker. If you have a prayer need, if you have a healing need, I want you to come down. We are just conduits, like I said. We're conduits of the Holy Spirit. And God's the one who heals. We don't take any glory for it. God's the one who heals. So I encourage you, if you have a healing need, come down and we'll pray for you and God will heal. So do you have anything you want to add? So
this picture that Olivia has over here is one of the first ones she did in the Philippines, and she's just continued to do it. And part of that was there's five things. I'm not going to remember them all, but we all had something to do with this, and it's part of the Holy Spirit being there. Part of it, healing our souls. I think, but healing the way we think. God is really into that. So that's part of that healing that I think he's talking about, right? That's something that we carried. Healing our hearts and filling our hearts with joy. And there's more. That's all I can remember right now, so that we're good.
So there's so much we can say. I'd like you all to stand up. And could you lead us in that? Could you lead us in that last song? And if you have a prayer need, just come forward. And we'll close out with this last song. And you know, just respond to the Holy Spirit, and He's the one who moves. He's the one who we want all the glory to go to God. And I just encourage you. Thank you again so much for sending us. And again, as far as Josh and Brandy, I encourage you, if you feel led in your heart to support them, they need to be supported. I know me and my wife are supporting them, and I know several of us are also supporting them. But I encourage you, they have a great ministry that they need to go back to, and they need to be fully funded. And so I encourage you, if you have any questions about that, talk to Morris more about the trip. There's just too much to share in this kind of setting. There's just a lot on each of our hearts that we could share. So I'm just going to go ahead and pray and close out, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, we thank you for the Philippines, but I also thank you for our home here, Bridge of Hope. And I just thank you, Lord, that you put it on our hearts to send us to go. And I just believe there's even more people that would want to go, and you put it on their hearts to go as well. And so I just thank you, Lord, for your call on our lives, Lord. And I thank you for Bridge of Hope. I just thank you, just the house is just, we're such a giving house, Lord. And so we just give you all the glory, and we just bless you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. Lord, we just pray right now that we would just say, Holy Spirit, come. And we say, use us as your hands to heal. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So come forward if you have any healing needs.